Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night, the meager food, the soul forgot. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
Well, everybody, it's time to marshal our forces and go back to Dallas. But first, we must get on our horse.
My name is Richard, and really, Virginia is my home. My name is Richard, and really, Virginia is my home. And me, my horses turn to gold. If I can't deliver up to you, my resolution, on independence. For I am FFC, first family in my father's colony of Virginia. Yes, the FFC.
Thanks to the Happy Recap, at the Happy Recap, on Twitter. one of my Met fan compatriots out there, because we need, you know, as Met fans, we're fully occupied in October, you know, because we have to figure out how to keep the Phillies and the Yankees away from the cheese. You know, we got the Braves busted out of there. Two to go. Oh, baseball. It's exhausting because for 6 months you root for your team, and then, you know, for a solid 5 weeks, you know, you've got to root against these other teams that you absolutely hate the sight of. There's nothing uglier to me on a baseball field than the Phillies and the Yankees playing each other. There's nothing uglier. It is just everywhere you look, you just see stuff you hate. So, you know, so I've been dealing with that. If you go over to NewYorkBaseballDigest.com, you'll see me and Frank Russo going back and forth. And, you know, it's gotten ugly. It's frankly gotten ugly. And, you know, here's Frank's opinion on me in case you tuned in late.
We have a call, 914 from Westchester. 914-833, you're on with Frank and Mike.
How you doing there?
Hey, what's up?
Well, I'm sitting here watching a silent movie here on ESPN here as we're living those 4 days in October, which might be...
Oh, ESPN 30 for 30.
That's right. Just watch the Bloody Sock, just watch the interviews afterwards, and now I get to watch that glorious Game 7 when I was racing home and walked in right to see Johnny Demonic put one in the upper deck there at the old Yankee Stadium. And then the best part was 2.5 hours of watching Yankee fans wither and die, a thousand deaths. And I'm thinking it's about time that happens again.
Frank, I mean, isn't it odd that 30 for 30 comes on? I mean, it's always odd timing that they put this out now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nothing surprises me coming from ESPN. You know, they've been sucking up the Red Sox Nation for how many years now, please? So, I mean, anything ESPN. I know people who work for ESPN, and let me tell you, the majority of people over there, and I can tell you for a fact because I know people who work at ESPN, the majority of the people who work there cannot stomach the Yankees. So anything that, you know, if you're expecting fair and balance from ESPN, come on. It might as well be, instead of ESPN, it might as well be Red Sox Nation, okay, instead of the ESPN. So, I mean, anything they do.
NSPN, NESN and ESPN combined.
Grain of salt.
Hmm. Well, you know, I don't think if you looked at the YES Network for objectivity, you'd find much of it either, or NESN for that matter. But the point is that...
But you're missing the
Yankees,
point here.
The Yankees are hateable. ESPN being national network.
No, I'm not going to let you get away with this.
All right, I can't take it. Frank is still upset with me. Because if you just hear that part of the argument, that's where we got off on the wrong foot. This man thinks that he was buffaloed. I love that phrase. I haven't been buffaloed in years. And it was pleasurable. By me and Mike Silva there, because, you know, I came on the air, they didn't announce who I was. You know, and he took the bait. But did you see how the argument, this is what happens with all Yankee fans. I want to break this down, because tonight we're talking about bullies. Frank's a damn bully. All right, he thinks he's being bullied by others, but he's a bully himself. And that's mostly what you deal with when you deal with the bully mindset, is this sort of internalized sense of persecution, paranoia. Everybody's jealous of what I got. No, nobody freaking cares. We all root for our own teams. And because we root for our own teams, we don't like other teams. I'm a very, very staunch Met fan. Therefore, the Yankees are scum to me. I take on individual fans, like I take on individual players, individual situations. But for the most part, the wind blows south past Yankee Stadium to me. I don't even turn and face the stadium if I drive past that awful palace. All right? Now, I have the same feelings for several other baseball teams and a bunch of football teams and some hockey teams and even a few basketball teams. But I don't have to live like that 24 hours a day. The bully does. And Frank, as you see, he made a straw man argument about ESPN, you know, being against the Yankees. His proof was that he knew people that worked there. And, you know, they're always against the Yankees because they're based in Bristol, Connecticut. My God, they had Peter Gammons, Hall of Fame, you know, broadcaster talking against the Yankees. when I've seen ESPN, who is a whore as a network, just a complete whore, embrace everything that the Yankees have done. Joe Torre was coronated on that network. Alex Rodriguez. I mean, it goes on and on. Jeter, forget it. Forget it. Ever watch the ESPYs? It's like a parade of freaking Yankees. So I don't want to hear it. You bore me. Just lose on Friday. Get the antlers out. Nolan Ryan will be sitting there with George Bush again, which is a combination I really have to strain my eyes to see. I wear a patch on my eye. I can just see Nolan, the old Met. And, you know, we get 27 outs for the 27-time champions, and we have Elimination Friday. I wake up Saturday morning like Scrooge after the third ghost leaves. They lose, and we got to go back to here-ily, there-ily on Saturday night, which I might require some type of sedation before that game starts. Because if they ever come back and win this, the Yankee ego, they might have to float it down Broadway before the World Series. If they make the World Series coming back and beating, Cliff Lee, I couldn't handle the fallout. I mean, it'd be like an air bubble around New York City from the Yankee egos just steaming with pride. Hate that team. God. And their fans are worse. Their fans are worse because they, as I explained it to Frank the Bully, is that it's there's an expectation. Where do they get that from? The team itself. And before that, the stupid owner, Dead Man Steinbrenner. Ugh, there's nothing to like about that team. I'm sorry. There's nothing romantic. There's nothing poetic. There's no redeeming value in anything they do. They're the national enemy. Go home, Yankee. Everyone, you know, it's what makes people hate New York. Tell you the truth, the stinking Yankees. You know, and it's the same. It's look at the partnership they formed with the Dallas Cowboys. Another self-anointed America's team garbage. Enough! Play for Dallas! Now, we're America's team. And you got to put Jerry with the ring. That's why they can't lose enough, those damn starheads. Oh, my God, that panic ball on Sunday was glorious. Who am I rooting for? The Sexter. Brett Favre. I'm rooting for him. Against the Starheads. I almost got whiplash because I had to have my jet hate going another direction because I was in a sports bar because of stupid cable having a fight. Another bully fight. Let's get into that for a minute. All right, right now I am streaming, in case you're a baseball-starved National League fan, you can go to http://channelsurfing.net/watch-mlb.html. All right, if you didn't hear all that, shoot me an email at nakedsummer@gmail.com, or, you know, find me on the Twitter or on the Facebook, and I'll get you the link. Or just go to the Happy Recap, at the Happy Recap on Twitter. He's got the link right there. But it's 2-0 Giants, bottom of the top of the fifth, as they try to forge a 3-1 lead in their series and put the GD Phillies to bed, which is good news. I can actually watch this game tomorrow night, you know, when it's, as Rollins gets a single up the middle here, when it's, is that Rollins? Number 10. I don't know who that is. He's not him. I don't know who it is. Some dopey Philly. Who cares? When you have Lincecum against Holiday again. Oh, it's Ben Francisco. Scattering people to on the Giants bench. Kind of cool, though. Kind of cool to be able to see that. So anyway, I want to get into the subject of bullies, and it's going to be a fast show tonight because I'm exhausted, like I said. I have freaking had it. And there's just, you know what? I'm going to let Chris Russo explain the frustration that you go through being a fan of a team that never wins, that tortures you. You know, I'm a Ranger fan, all right? Not Texas. Care less about that. New York Ranger fan, hockey fan. Hockey, out of all the sports, as I grew up, was the most visceral of all pain I endured as a sports fan, because the Islanders, Those rat bastards won the Stanley Cup 4 years in a row, the 4 years that I happened to be in high school. And they paraded that son-of-a-bitch cup right past my house, 3 blocks from my house on Hempstead Turnpike, on their way to their little celebration over there at Eisenhower Park on Long Island. So not only did I have to suffer the indignities of being a Ranger fan who hadn't won a cup since 1940 in my eardrums, I had to watch the stinking Islanders parade the cup past my house. All right? So after 54 years, the Rangers won their one cup. They barely made the playoffs for a decade after that, and they haven't been near the cup since. 16 years and counting. Okay? And they start the season, you know, by three guys getting hurt, and they lose two home games. So anyway, be that as it may. That's Ranger pain, all right? Then you got your New York Giants as a football fan, not San Francisco, New York Giants football fan. Now, compared to the lowly Jets, and I hate the green slime, trust me, and Rex Ryan and all he represents over there. Ugh, get into him for a minute. But being a Giant fan growing up, again, they didn't make the playoffs for 18 straight years. All right? Now, as a football team, that's a long time. That's real bad. And then they had a good decade between 81 and, say, 91, right? Back in the drink, mid-90s, after Phil Simms, the glorious, hold on, the glorious Phil Simms, retired the day after the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, by the way. That was it. You got to give one for the other. And they've reemerged in the last 3 or 4 years with Eli, and they won the Super Bowl in 2007. But we went from what, 91 to 2007? That's 16 years again, no championships. So I want to hear about this. Oh, the Giants are. How could you do this? Yeah, as a Giant fan, you do suffer. And believe me, on Sunday, I was in that sports bar, and there were some really kind of dyed-in-the-wool Giant fans who came out to see the game because of stupid Fox and stupid Cable. And we were sweating it out with the Lions, who had lost, like, I don't know, 24 straight road games. And here they are, you know, they wouldn't go away. I could go through a zillion Giant games in the last 20 years that have literally pulled muscle fibers out of my heart. Okay? So there's that hate. The Knicks, even when they were good in the 90s, everybody hated them. How could you hate anything more than Michael Jordan and the Bully Bulls? Their name is Bull. That's how much of a bully team they were. They were the Bulls. They didn't even mince any words. They came in. They took your children. That was it. 6 championships. My God, your eyes are bleeding thinking about that team. And the Knicks stumble bum their way to the playoffs 1 year when Jordan goes to play baseball because of his gambling allegations. I don't say anything about that. And then they go down to Texas, up 3-2, and they lose the series in 7. Painfully. Painfully! So I'm going to let Mr. Russo here, Mad Dog, give you his synopsis on his history as being a San Francisco Giant fan. And maybe you rat bastard, stinking bully, absolute in-your-face, shut-the-hell-up Yankee fans could appreciate what the pain is about, because you never suffer. Not even for 5 minutes. You're too busy congratulating each other. Here's a little Russo.
Second, you're a Giant fan. Just put yourself in my shoes. The Florida Marlins have been in existence for 10 years. They have done nothing. They had one great year in 97, and now they're having this magical run again, and both times at the expense of the Giants. Think about that for a second.
Yep.
I have been around for 50 years, not a thing. Twice, this team, out of nowhere, has knocked us off twice. I'll give you one other stat. They had a chance to play 4 postseason games in Joe Robbie Stadium in the last 6 years. And they have lost every game in the last at-bat.
Yep.
Every freaking game in that stupid ballpark, they've lost in the last at-bat. I got Ernie Kishonis calling me up and going crazy. Marlin this, Marlin that. Marlin fans are nowhere to be found, and now I can't win a game in that park in front of 65,000 people. I'll tell you, Saturday, I was so upset, and I thought I was beyond it. I thought it wouldn't bother me. Saturday, I was mad at Rodriguez. I was mad at JT. So I wasn't mad at JT, but I was mad at Rodriguez. Jerome Williams, I met everybody. I cannot believe. And then I got the Yankees walking through the park in Minnesota, pounding the Twinks, Mariano pitching great, Clemens and Wells, I hate, going out there being great, and now I got to deal with the Yankees winning another World Championship, probably beating the Red Sox and Cubs along the way, and I'm out in the first round. I mean, why waste my time? Every single freaking year, I get myself juiced up for this stupid team, and at 43 years of age and three kids, enough already. Let them go hurt somebody else. I mean, when am I ever going to have a chance to win a lousy freaking champion? What time? Not 20. What lousy goddamn time? Gee whiz. Every single, beat that GD. Every single time. Ah, come on. Will you please? Can you beat the Florida ball at one time? Four straight losses in that ballpark, not to mention Busch Stadium in 87, not to mention 93-12-1 last year. They spit it up every single time. The game in Wrigley Field, nobody beats the Cubs. We can't beat them in 98. Nobody beats them. We stink. The Mets, the lousy Mets did it to us. Gosh, every time. And then a win. Every year I'm sitting there, and I've been there October 26th, and they're big dusty to annoy me. I've been there October 26th, and the Yankees be parading down the Canyon of Hills with their 27th championship, and I'm out again. I don't care how many books I write, how many kids I have, how many Marconis. I don't care. Mike can put me on that show forever. I don't care. Win one. I'll give it all back. I'll leave now. One, that's all I want is one. Oh, no. I'll leave. I swear I'll leave. I'll quit. Must have get me happy. I'll leave one time. Once. I'll get out of here forever. You'll never see me again. Let me win once. Once.
Well, here's what's troubling about that.
There you go. Shut up, Imus. So they have a little of the perspective of the frustration that the rest of us go through rooting for our teams. You know, and that's why, like I said, I don't have any sympathy or any patience or any solace for these rat-bastard Yankee fans that are they're almost interminable in the way that they that they sort of group us all as inferior because we don't do what they do. You know, it's a very, and this just gets back into the whole thing about the prejudice. Now, all you guys are familiar with the, the case in Rutgers, where the young man was basically embarrassed into killing himself over the homophobia, and they broadcast that they taped him having sex, and then they put it online. I mean, and it's there's that type of almost like an element in bullying, that because you fear something, and most bullies are all based in fear. That's what you got to understand. I want to give you sort of the somatic anatomy of bullying. Bullying comes from, and somas are all built like this, okay? And you're a soma, which means basically that you are a self-moving, self-experiencing sensory motor system, okay? Even a piece of pizza is a soma, just not as dynamic as you. All right, you have a relationship with your surroundings, okay? Your job as a soma is to rise, okay, against gravity and move forward. That's why our eyes are in front of our face, right? So in that process of rising and falling and moving backwards and moving forwards and being able to maneuver and being able to forego certain things and being able to change and adapt and want and need and all those elements of being alive, somewhere in that mix, the bully encounters something it doesn't want to be. It sees something in other people it doesn't want to be, whether that's a loser, whether that's an outcast, whether that's all the things that are in that person's narrative get pushed out into the environment, whether it's racial prejudice or religious prejudice or ethnocentrism or a gazillion other things. Or definitely when it comes to the swine fear, and we'll get into that. Big Pharma is a bully. Look at the Tylenol case I'm going to read to you about. What they've discovered about Tylenol and asthma. Hey, guess what? All you people that have been pickling yourselves with Tylenol, especially you kids, that's causing a lot of asthma. What is asthma in terms of energetics? An overprotective mother. So I'm talking in circles. I like it. Anyway, getting back to the bully thing, is that if you understand that about the bully, that the bully is more afraid of what you are than what they are. They're more afraid that you might take away something that they think is theirs. They're more in need of controlling their surroundings than you are. You can remain effortlessly fluid around it and not afraid at all. Be aware, but don't be afraid. Be focused, but don't be confused. That's really the element here. And so whether you're dealing with homophobic stuff or religious persecution or dealing with gender problems, you know, the sexual harassment issues coming up, or like in the NFL where everything is macho, right, and everything is about being able to control your surroundings, especially if you're a defensive player, this new notion of they're taking away the headshot from the game. And the reason why that's so fundamental, you saw some of the players speak out about it over the weekend when there were all these incidences of concussions, and they said, oh, now we're going to start suspending you guys. It's almost as if it's taking away their bullying tactic of hitting you in the head. Because that's the big thing about being afraid of going over the middle as a receiver, is somebody's going to knock your block off, like what happened in the Eagle game. You know? So, if you have any experiences with bullying, you know, or if you've been a bully, that's even better. If you've been a bully, give me a call. Because at a certain point, you realize that you were afraid. That's what makes you need to bully. And most times, bullies do things with yeah guys around them. You know the yeah guy? The bully comes up to you, pokes you in the chest. You react to him specifically, and then some other guy goes, yeah, behind him, but he never fights you. That's the other thing about Yankee fans. They're a bunch of yeah guys. They hide behind each other. And that's another element of the fear. And that's another element of the way that they perpetuate that perception that there's more of them than you. You know, and it speaks to a lot of the underlying issues that we have with our identity in this culture when it comes to let's just talk about it in terms of masculine versus feminine, not male, female, but masculinity and the power structure. Because the whole show is really about power trips, and there's a lot of them out there right now, a lot of them. So let's get into a couple here. Let's go take a visit to our friends with the swine fear. And where's my cue? Swine friend.
Oh, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
All right, well, as I'm looking this up, I just noticed this on over here on Yahoo, is that James Harrison considers retiring if the league fines him $75,000 for a dangerous hit. Typical bully. All right. He got fined for a really vicious hit that he thinks was legal. Let's see, his agent says, we wouldn't joke about this, it's a very serious issue. James is concerned about how to play football. James is going to be fined $75,000 for making a legal tackle. How do you go play football? It's quite frustrating to James, to Coach Tomlin, to me, and to everybody. A legal tackle? The hit was very dirty. He hit him right in the helmet. Just stop hitting people in the head. You know, in 1993, Chuck Cecil was fined $37,000, taking the exact same cheap shot that Harrison took on Sunday. So, inflation. This guy makes $13 million a year. So who's he threatening? You think Roger Goodell cares if Harrison leaves the game? Harrison's not the only one. They don't understand this. I'm going to sit down and have a serious conversation with my coach, see if I actually play by NFL rules and still be effective. If not, I may have to give it up. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I mean, again, typical bully, right? Typical bully. Hits him right in the head. Unbelievable. That is the heart of this, really, when it comes down to it, that's the heart of this, is that there's a sort of an underlying current of trying to control what you fear the most happening. And the NFL, big macho sport, if you can't intimidate, if you can't, you know, strike fear in the heart of the opposition before something's happening, you're losing an edge. You're losing a tool. You're losing somewhat of your influence over the other team. You know. So let's see if anything's going on here in the swine fear world. There's a lot going on in the world. My God, my head's swimming. Swine flu jab linked to rare nerve disease. Oh, let's see. All right. Experts are carrying out studies to examine the possible association between the vaccine, H1N1, which, of course, you know, paralyzed a couple of kids we talked about last week, and also a young mother, and Guillain-Barré syndrome, a condition which attacks nervous systems and can cause paralysis, even death. Oh, boy. Let's see. Now the Medicines and Healthcare Products recently published a report that suggests the further tests to be carried out. It reads, given the uncertainties in the available information, and as with seasonal flu vaccines, a slightly elevated risk of GBS following H1N1 vaccines cannot be ruled out. Believe this crap? A slightly elevated risk of vaccine-induced paralysis cannot be ruled out. Yeah, this is the same, you know, body of government body that was denying when other countries were banning the shot that there was any evidence that the shot caused anything. Now we have a slightly elevated risk. I hate them. Ugh, typical bullies again. Government experts say there's no evidence of an increased risk that is like in 1976, but the report reveals they're calculating there might be a smaller raised risk. Yeah, again, I do this every week because it's just absolutely hilarious that this is what we have to deal with. But I can't make it up. I just can't make it up anymore. There's so much, like I said, there's so much to this when it comes to the way the government legislates this stuff. And that ties right into this report here from about Tylenol. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I'll give you the synopsis. Is that, and again, I deal a lot this time of the year. You know, lung, large intestine, we're getting into the middle of the fall now. We passed the accommodation point on the 17th, so our bodies are getting used to the fact that there's less light, less heat, we're internalizing more. Lung, large intestine, got to have your ions, got to have your minerals balanced. You're sucking down Tylenol. Could be causing problems with your lungs. According to one study, Tylenol could be responsible for as many as 4 in 10 cases of wheezing and severe asthma in teenagers. We've confirmed that acetaminophen, which is, you know, Tylenol, use comes before these symptoms arise, so a causal link is increasingly likely. It's from a UK report. They've been studying this for years. Looks like Lots of kids, 320,000 teens in 50 countries. 11% of the children have breathing trouble. Only slightly more than percentage of American children have asthma. Okay, the link's real. Could have a major impact on public health. Okay, and that's from American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine. It's amazing. Those teens took Tylenol at least once a month, and more than 4 in 10 Americans doubled the odds of wheezing. Now, why would the lungs wheeze when you take Tylenol? Just to give you kind of a, you know, a little inside baseball on this stuff. When you look at things energetically and systemically and not in isolation, you don't have a lung here and a liver there, you know, they really, it doesn't work like that. Systems work together. So organ systems, respiratory, you know, digestive system, these are chained communication systems. When you're dealing with the lung, it's an organ of assimilation and also an organ of elimination, right? So if the liver is congested because it has to neutralize this drug, because what does Tylenol do? It's a blood thinner. It has that effect. But it also puts the liver in a situation where it has to neutralize this these toxins. So if the liver is congested, then what happens is the circulation that gets back into the lungs and the heart is also going to be full of snot, right? So the body's response is to add more phlegm, right, to protect the linings. And then that gets into the lung fields and irritates them and causes the wheezing. It's pretty simple, guys. You put garbage in your body, you're always going to stress the vital organs, and one of the organs that will manifest this very quickly is the lungs because of its proximity with the heart and the whole cardiovascular pulmonary dynamic. It's very simple. So you're never going to get healthier popping Tylenol. All you're going to do is continue to add risk, especially in developing lungs and children, that your pulmonary part of the CVP thing, you know, people, I got to do my cardio. Well, it's cardiovascular pulmonary, right? You have 43 miles of blood vessels, you got these lung fields, and you got a heart that has to basically be the biological governor of all these things that basically will propagate life forces through your system, right? You keep pouring that stuff in there, the body has to strain to get it out. You're now at the mercy of your motor system and your coordination to pump out the lymph that's now going to be, congested with all this debris. And over time, especially when it gets colder, all that circulation goes more to the core of the body and it gets harder to get out. Cold and flu season. Mechanical. Natural, too. Because your body's trying to get rid of the waste before it goes into its lower metabolic rate during the winter months. We can prepare for it. You can take something like, instead of taking acetaminophen and Tylenol, why not take some arabinogalactin? Philippi said arabinogalactin, otherwise known as Ara-6, otherwise known as larch tree extract. Scoop a day of that. You make more surfactant in your lungs. More oxygen gets into your tissues. You make more hemoglobin, and you have more energy to store during the winter months. All right? Keep the body heat. Keep the core body heat good so that your immune system can continue to regulate itself and your body doesn't suffer from all these problems with both the circulation and the impurities in the bloodstream. So, again, I'm trying to help here. The other thing is chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is a wonderful way this time of the year to prepare your body for the lack of light. Right? You take a couple of tablets of that a day. I usually recommend 3 for adults, 2 for kids, 1 for basic preschools, and your system will, more oxygen goes to the liver, you make more myoglobin, you make more hemoglobin, you carry more iron, your body can carry more oxygen. It's not that difficult. It's just boring to me that we're constantly having to suffer through the same garbage every year on a cyclical basis because we don't educate people how to take care of themselves. That's what's frustrating. I don't even know where to start. So let's take a look at this cable crisis. This is another bully situation that has arisen. And if you're in the tri-state area, you probably heard of it. But Broadcasting Cable's report today. This is day 5 of the No Fox Zone. Brief talks, day 5. Cable systems versus Fox networks, all right? Fox pulled its broadcast over the weekend, October 16th. The parties are at loggerheads. Cablevision wants to go to binding arbitration. Fox says no. Both parties have a position, but only Cablevision is joining over 50 government leaders through the solution, binding arbitration under the direction of the neutral third party. And, of course, Fox wants to negotiate business to business because they have a better deal with Time Warner and they want that same deal with Cablevision, who doesn't want to do that. So let me just see one of these comments here. Oh, Fox, you greedy bastards. Put baseball back on television. There's a guy. Everyone should take a look at the quarterly earnings of News Corp. They're the epitome of greed. They will not negotiate fairly. And the funny part is that Cablevision is no nature's nobleman either. It's kind of funny that we're in the middle of this again. Always in the middle of it. We have no say. And we lose the channel and we have no options. Well, we have like a nudnik trying to watch the Phillies on this back channel here. Really? See if I can get an update for you. 9:39 on the Fan. I tell you, it's going to be a fast show tonight. I'm fed up. I'm tired to deal with you guys and guests. And
you filthy criminals.
I got people dropping left and right with the... We have a full moon tomorrow. And if you're a follower of anything I do, you know that I'm very, very cognizant of... The seasonal changes, the lunar changes, things like that throughout the month. And tomorrow is the full moon of regret. And earlier this week, we had National Evaluate Your Life Day on Tuesday. I took part because I'm trying to get myself to the point where I can, you know, be okay with the direction I'm going. Coaching you guys, doing things like the Coco, you know, trying to organize things, make it bite-sized so you don't get your little heads full. Because, you know, hardly any information at all, and you're holding your heads because you, oh my God, I'm thinking, comes over you. And I would just like it, I'd like to see it be, what's going on with this channel now? It's like they blocked it. I had the game on for an inning. Let's see. Okay. Exhausting. So, anyway, I'm going to start building something called Domania on the website that will help you be able to profile other domains and be able to recognize the narrative of your own domain so that, again, there's less of this feeling of opposition between you and your surroundings. That bully element is really a function of somatic indifference. You're so in your head, you're so in the story, you're so in your belief system about the way things should be. When something shows up different than what you believe or expect, you polarize to it and you go into this onto myself form of attention, and that creates a polarity. And if no one addresses that polarity, it escalates, and it can escalate all the way to the point where there's hate crimes, all the way to the point where there's war. It starts out with an internal prejudice, a prejudging based on an inflexibility in the way that you shift your attention. And we're supposed to move through all four of these different rhythms in these different domains throughout the course of a day, the course of a lunar phase, the course of a month, the course of a season, the course of a lifetime. Being able to do that and educating ourselves how to do that is really the trick. And that's kind of the core of the work I'm doing. And I want to make it fun. It's like I've been doing this work for 20 years on the unfun side. You know, people coming in suffering through things, and it's just I can't see me doing it much longer that way because of the way the healthcare system is changing and just the diminishing returns. There's no upside in being someone who's educating people how to take care of themselves in a society that is resistant to anything intellectual on the one hand and also very afraid of anything visceral. What they like is emotional content. What they like is things that give them feelings. That's why they market to those feelings. They market to pain. They market to fatigue. They market to being debilitated. They market to being inhibited and shy and socially phobic, and they market to your irrationalities, your anger, your frustrations, your outrage, the unfairness of it all, the alienation. They market to all those things because they're easy to get a reaction from you. And the more you look at the way that the world is really geared towards that stimulus response, you know, level where you're not really getting stimulus and response. You're just getting meaninglessness. People tend to generalize their emotions because they don't know how to regulate them. So it's easier and easier to get somebody angry. It's easier and easier to get somebody off their rhythm, out of their set. You watch it in there was a football team up in Canada getting razzed in the stands by the fans. There was a hockey player went in the stands the other day and started strangling some fan. And the football team in Canada ran up in the stands and started fighting with the fans. Okay? When you have that much friction, we have that much venom, that much hate going on at a sporting event, you know, what do you think that means when people go out on the street? What do you think that means when people go to the voting booths in a couple weeks? And we're going to do a special election show, as we always do, the special election, Soma Night. Maybe we can get Dave Goodman out of his cave in California to come talk to us about the future of the world. Because that's going to be a night where you're going to see a lot of this somatic stuff play out. You're going to see a lot of this, you know, this polarity play out as the teabag stuff comes up. And as the Democratic Party, which is it has its internal problems, just as the Republican Party has its problems, all playing out on the national stage, you know, through the elections. And the midterm elections set up what's going to be the 2012 campaign, which will start, January 1st, January 2nd, somewhere around there. So that'll be that. This is not happening, guys. I can't seem to get the game back in. Yeah, okay, maybe now it'll work. Countdown. So anyway, I just wanted to get that off my chest tonight. There's a lot of stuff going on that sort of ties together with this central theme that I've been talking about. So you got the Cablevision strife. You've got that Tylenol case. You've got the bully case in Rutgers. You've got that paralyzed boy over there in Rutgers basically another one of these situations where the machoism that isn't in all sports is starting to come back and be, noticed as maybe we're going too far here. And you look at a guy like Harrison with the Steelers who says, I'm going to quit if I can't be a bully. How weird is that? Seriously, how weird is that? I don't know what's going on with this thing. Oh, maybe that's what's doing it. Kind of sucks. I had the game on, and then I tried to reset it, and now it won't work. Maybe they cut us off. Webcast on. Nothing. Let's see if I can get a score while I'm sitting here doing nothing. It was 2-0 Giants before, and I was watching the game. I was very happy. And I shut it off to play you guys a clip, and I'm back screwed. There, let's see. Duking it out. Oh, my God. 4-2 Phillies. Maybe I'm not missing anything. So they must have scored a bunch of runs that inning. I got cut off. Is there a Ranger game on tonight? I don't know why I thought there would be. Let's see. Got a little Soma casting on before I get off the air. Maybe not. 60 Giants, 3-1. This is not a hockey game. All right, guys. You know, I'm a little tired. I haven't had a guest on this today. Oh, 4-3. They did score 4 runs in the 5th inning. Let's see, recapping it here for you guys who joined us late. The Philadelphia Phillies, we had Francisco single. Right, I saw that. And then followed by another single. Then a sac fly. And then a single scored 1 run. Another guy got thrown out of the plate. And then they brought in a reliever. And then Polanco doubles and 2 runs scored. Then they walked Howard. Worth got hit by a pitch. And then a wild pitch scored a 4th run. Wow. But the Giants got one back here. In the 2 out in the 5th. They're down 4-3. They were up 2-0. We'll see if they can hang on. Tell you, like I said, the Phillies are playing this game with risking a lot here because they could go down 3-1, and they know tomorrow they have their guy going. So, with Holiday, so I guess that's going to be what they're focusing on is see if they can steal tonight's game. You know, but I'm sort of out of ideas tonight, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just this is the first time I've ever said to myself, you know, why even stretch this show? I've done a lot the last 3 weeks. I've been on the air a lot. I've been doing a lot of work. And there's just not a lot of reasons to stay around tonight. Let's see. What do I got here? So anyway, if you guys got any calls, I'll be here. I'll probably mind the story here for another 10 minutes. I'm going to see if I can get this Philly game back on the other channel. Seems like I want to work, though. Circles and circles and nothing. Nothing. Let's see. Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's like... So start watching now. So stream online TV. See if it works if I do this. Well, anyway, so going into the weekend, we've got a couple things happening. Tomorrow night, full moon, right? Friday, Yankees in Texas. Saturday, hopefully nothing. Sunday, no Jet game. Very nice. Monday, Giants Dallas. And then we're back here next Wednesday night, getting ready for the Halloween weekend and the World Series, of course. You know, we'll see what happens with that. So, you know, I don't know. I might go with a sports theme next week. I might not. I'm going to work on this Domania thing. We're still working on the stuff from the Coco over there at the site. So we'll hopefully get some clips up on that. And I don't know. There's not much else I really want to share tonight because I feel like I'm kind of between worlds here. And I was hoping to get a little discussion going, but I guess, you know, you guys are doing what you usually do, just sitting out there listening to me. Boy. I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like we're at a crossroads in a way, you know. Not a lot I could say here that would really affect this, you know. It's like, what else is there to do except say so long? Uh oh, Flippy's got to sneeze. Oh, I'm gonna record this. Ready? Ah, that was fun. I guess. That made more sense in the whole show. Yeah, they've done something to block this thing, because I can't get it back. It's just not working. Typical. Whatever. All right, let's see if we get any scores here from... they've done anything. 2-1 with two outs. Busted Posey up. Sounds like my computer's going to take off. Anyway, I had such a lousy week, guys. I think I'm going to take the pipe tonight and just put it down. My car dies on Friday. Then my printer dies on Monday. Then my cable box dies this morning. Tomorrow's the full moon. I advise you, if you didn't participate in the Evaluate Your Life Day on Tuesday, try and get a little of that in before Thursday night. This is the full moon of regret. We're at the midpoint of the fall. And from here on in, everything starts going more internal, gets more reflective, gets more, all about basically back going into the core of yourself and what's the essence of your being and all that stuff. So if you have any issues with that, if you have any issues with facing some of these things as we get into the fall, definitely go and sign up for the course I'm teaching over on the site. You can't see it right now. I'll get it over there later. It's called Shortcuts to Sanity. And it's 6 classes I'm going to be putting together between now and the end of December that you can do a self-study online with and really learn a lot of your patterns. Like I said before, those bully patterns are everywhere. You see them in the news. You see them in entertainment. You see them in sports. You see them in music. They're always there. There's always a bully. That's what I'm trying to tell you guys. There's always a bully because there's always somebody else's fear that you could tap into and basically become the trigger for. So it's like if you know what makes that happen within yourself, then you understand, have compassion, and have a way to relate to it when it happens with somebody else. And realize that anytime you're confronting a bully, you're really confronting your own shadow. So the first thing to do when you see the bully is listen. Where's his fear or her fear? Where's the fear? If you find the fear, that's where the distortion is. And in that distortion, there's a fact. There's a kernel of truth that has not been acknowledged yet. So you switch places with it. You become the bully. You become the fearful bully. And realize how vulnerable they are in there. And at that point, you can communicate to it directly because you're back to being equal again. Most times when people confront a bully, they feel overwhelmed. I had to deal with the bully down at the Cablevision today when I went and got my cable box replaced. You know, money is a way to intimidate people with this. There's a power structure in every business that does this. The boss says this to the secretary, says this to the underling, down to the mailroom, right? So all of that chain of command, all of that distorted, tapered view of the world stems from a lack of somatic awareness of the other three perspectives. So that we all seem to live a little bit too much in that ontosomatic realm, onto myself, what affects me, what about me, that's survival. You can't evolve from there. You can only just adapt and adapt and adapt and adapt till you just tread water and sink. In order to gain perspective, you have to expand your view, be able to take a structural look at things, an exosomatic look at things, a relationship perspective, which is the philo perspective, bond with things that you fear, bond with things that you dread, bond with things that you're not supposed to do. Forget the law of attraction when it comes to that. Be equal to your negativity, and then it can't possibly control you. And like I said, when you meet it, look, realize the fear is there. You feel it in your stomach, you feel it in your chest, wherever you feel it. Let the fear register, and then start to slowly turn. Realize it's a distortion. Slowly turn it on its ear. Find the kernel of truth. Where's the seed? Where does it lead back to? What is this situation dreading? What is the future that it can't bear to look at? Go there, find out the truth about it, and then you can communicate directly to it. And, you know, it won't have any power over you anymore. If you can inoculate yourself with that meme, with that thought, then tonight's little short show really served a purpose, because it really is about communicating with yourself at a higher level by going deeper within yourself to do it, instead of going on the superficial, you know, monkey mind chatter in your head that a lot of us live in and suffer in, really, to tell you the truth. So let's see if I can get a song to play us out tonight. We'll take it to the top of the hour here. I don't know what this thing is doing. I'll try and get the show back on. Let's see. Go over to YouTube. I think I'm going to try another one of my 1776 songs to play us out here as we get ready for the weekend. Stinking rotten Yankees. I don't know what happened, that the game just suddenly switched off on me like that. But I will persevere. Twitter will find me another free channel to watch the game. And it's 4-3 Phillies. I don't know what I listen to here. Yeah, maybe we will listen to Sit-Down John. Here's a bully John Adams for you. Good bully for me. Let's see. All right, as we go back down to Dallas, let's see if I can find the... you're dealing with bureaucracy, you're dealing with a lot of headaches out in the world. Draw some inspiration from my friend John Adams here, because he didn't deal with it back in 1776. He fought through it. All right, so I'll see you next week for a big Halloween shoe, World Series Game 1. Simulcast. And hopefully, maybe we'll have Mike Silver on as a guest to get me through the hour, but kind of a tired night. Hopefully, guys, you can rest up, get ready, because the clock's changing soon. And we'll see you next week here on Summertime. This is Dr. Mark saying thank you very much for this time and your space. Be yourself and be well. Travel light through the darkness. Here's a little John Adams. Take us out.
Sugar axe. Tea axe. And when we dared stand up like men, they have stopped our trade, seized our blockaded our ports, burned our towns, and spilled our blood. And still this Congress refuses to grant any of my proposals, even so much as a courtesy of open debate.
Come on, man.
God, what the hell are you waiting for?
Consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse, for no sane man would tolerate it.
John, you're a whore. We've heard this before. Now for God's sake, John, help.
I say vote yes. Vote yes.
Vote
for independence.
Shut that man up!
Never!
Never!
Never! Travel light, spiral on, sapiens!